Hi, it's Rosemary O'Shaughnessy, and you're very welcome to this week's podcast, where I speak to Susie Taylor, who is a blogger, and she is also dyslexic. Take a moment and listen.
Hi, Susie. You're very welcome to this week's podcast. And I'm sorry to hear you have laryngitis, but all going well.
It's one of these things that happen, so can't help.
Exactly. So tell me, and obviously for our listeners, about your business, who you help, what you do, and I'll just quickly just say that you are a dyslexic blogger, and we are going to discuss dyslexia and obviously writing. So tell me now.
Tell you. Yes, well, I blog about dyslexia. My blog started when I was going through a really bad period of my life. I didn't really want to take up a blog, but I got talked into it. I had been writing for Dyslexic Voice since 2017. So I collected all of that. That's how my blog really started. About how I deal with dyslexia. Over time, that has changed because of the pandemic. Working with marvelous assistive technology companies such as Orcam, Claro, Learning Labs, Global Autocorrect, and Global Tasks, and getting to grips with going to university. So I've been writing about becoming a student and
very important
and studying with dyslexia, which can be extremely overwhelming at times because you are learning all these new skills. You are learning how to write an academic essay, learning how to study again, learning time management skills I don't have, putting an essay together, and then getting all this fabulous assistive technology to help me do all these things can be extremely overwhelming. And being able to
It can, but it also can be funny in a way, because in a previous conversation we had, you mentioned that you use Dragon, which is a great tool because you speak to it and then it creates text. But I used it years ago, and I'm Irish, and Irish people can't pronounce their T's. It just is a national thing. We can't pronounce our T's. So I would talk to Dragon, and it had a huge problem with my Irish accent. But ironically, today, Dragon has learned about people and our accents and everything else. And it's amazing how that software, for example, that you use, that obviously helps you create your blogs quicker and gives you assistance, how it has improved so much over the years.
Yeah, definitely. And being a helpline advisor with Dyslexia Scotland, it also helps me fill in my emails, Salesforce sheets, and all the other things that I need to do, which go along with being a helpline advisor. So, you know, it's an amazing bit of technology that can be integrated with so many different things to help not just dyslexia, because it was initially invented for high executives in the business community. So that's how the whole Dragon thing came about. It just so happens good for dyslexia as well. So, you know, it is available for everybody. It's just one of these bits of software that everybody knows about it, but not everybody knows about it. I think it's more word of mouth.
Yeah, because the first time I came across it was just pure working that it saved, this was a long time ago, where it actually saved having to pay an extra person, because it meant communication could be done, letters could be done, etc., an awful lot quicker. And then you didn't need a secretary or whoever that person might have been doing some of those things. It released time that they could do other things. So that's how I knew about it initially in business. But then on the other hand, as you said, for someone with dyslexia, it means that you, in your case, that you can speak your thoughts. It will put create them into text, so that will help compensate that writing can be slower if someone has dyslexia. Just for business, it was to save time and money. That's why
people
using it.
As I say, with the Open University as well, being as a dyslexic, I would have taken hours before to break down language that I couldn't spell, to put words in which were simpler, everything. So now I can use academic language, which there's no way I could spell. You know, if I'm wanting to talk about power hierarchies, mental health issues such as paranoid schizophrenia, Dragon does it all for me. You know, it makes it look far more professional for me as a dyslexic person within that community.
Yeah, now as we're talking about dyslexic person, Richard Branson is a dyslexic person. And there is a quote here I have from Richard Branson, and I really think it's very good, and it applies to dyslexic, and it also applies to everyone. And what Richard Branson says, being dyslexic can actually help in the outside world. I can see some things clearer than other people do because I can simplify. This simplify things to help me, and that has helped others. Now, in other words, we all know Richard Branson is very successful, but he's saying his superpower is because he's dyslexic and he can simplify things. And when we can simplify things, we can do more things, and then we can achieve more. So I thought that was very relevant for dyslexia and also for business, because obviously when you're blogging, if you've a format and a thing, you've a system that simplifies it, it makes things easier. Now, when you started your blog, I'm sure it took a huge amount of courage, because people can criticize, and none of us want to be criticized online or offline. So, and when you work online, there's always that someone could criticize you publicly. Well, have you any advice how to deal with criticism, or how to overcome maybe the fear of getting criticism if you write a blog post, for example?
Well, if anybody can criticize me better than I can criticize myself, then go ahead. I don't really look at the criticism. You know, it is lovely to get very positive feedback, which has been great over the time where I've started my blog, about being witty and funny, wise. But I also know I'm going to get criticized as well. But do you know something? I love watching Dr. Brené Brown on The Power of Vulnerability. And she did a brilliant interview with Oprah Winfrey about criticism, and the fact that you have put yourself in the middle of the bull ring, you are going to get criticized, because it's nice and easy to stand from the sidelines and tell somebody what you think. You know, I don't take criticism personally, because, as I say, I criticize myself more than any other person would do. I have been in a bad place. My mental health has suffered because of other people constantly not understanding me, my dyslexia, and how I work. So, you know, I look at fear and go, well, do you know something? That person doesn't know me. They don't know what I've been through. And I am trying my best to tell a story of my life with dyslexia. Somebody else might be very different with their dyslexia. They could be extremely successful with dyslexia, like Richard Branson. But that is just a tiny minority of people who are successful with dyslexia because of people's perceptions of dyslexia. You know, it is very hard because people don't understand that you can be an incredibly intelligent person but be dyslexic. And because we seem to have an education system that has one size fits all, if you can't read and write, you're looked on as stupid.
Yeah, and the fact is we are living in a world where it's much harder not to do things without reading and writing. Like, it was always needed, but 20 or 30 years ago, if you weren't good at writing letters, you could pick up a phone and you could ring a company, for argument's sake, to do something. Now you nearly need half a day to ring a company and to get to talk to you in Spain.
Because you're listening to the ringtone and falling asleep.
Exactly. You've heard a few rounds of Mozart or whatever. So because of all of these things, it has got an awful lot harder to actually survive if you can't read or write. So what you're saying is very, very valid, because, you know, all of us have to be able to stand back, but it takes a while if somebody is fearful of criticism to face that fear factor and say, I'll do it anyway. And also, and not to take it as criticism, like, I love the word feedback, because you learn. And if you use the thing is it's feedback, then you actually keep improving and you mentally look at it in a completely different way. And also, if you're thinking of it as feedback, you're more helpful to people.
Well, that's well. Like,
yeah, that's, and it opens doors.
I've found that I no longer keep a to-do list. I keep a ta-da list, because yeah, I can go, ta-da, look what I've done on my list. Instead of going to-do, oh, shit, I've only done 2 things out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, where I, if anything, my to-do list gets smaller and I get more done, because there's several to-do lists, but they're smaller in bite-sized chunks, so you get more done. Now, as well as when you're writing professionally like yourself, obviously you're writing for different companies or whatever, and you've commitments with them, so you need to get things done. You know, if someone says, can I have this article done by Monday? It's no, they mean Monday, next Monday. They don't mean Monday in a month's time. What would your advice be, or how do you manage deadlines and all, which are part of being a professional blogger?
Well, I usually find out when somebody wants something And I put it on my Google Calendar. You know, same with my Open University work. So I can then go in and go, right, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I've got the next thing to do. I can prioritize that. I can then go into my software and go, right, okay, I need to do this. Mind my ideas in a mind map. Now I know that mind maps don't work for every dyslexic. They work for me. I love the visuals. I can then import that into my software called Claro Writing Helper, which will sort that all out for me. And then I can look at PDFs, what I need from my website, from what I need from websites, pick the information that I need, make sure that I'm writing in a style that comes from me, so I'm not plagiarizing anything. And my software will let me know that. It will also do my bibliography and everything. And then I can hand it over to the company and say, what do you think? Is there any changes I need to make? Or are you happy with me publishing it that way? And I can take their feedback and I can look at that and say, okay, right, fine, fair enough.
Yeah, makes sense. Like what you're saying, very simply, to keep deadlines and all, you have a system together. You have a system of this is how I'm going to get it done. These are the parts that I need to get done, like with the blog, the bibliography, all the different parts. And then you're also saying you do your quality control. That's between you and the companies you're writing for, just to check everything is correct. And another thought I had as well was if it's offline or online for bloggers, I think we all need tools. So you have mentioned the tools you use. A tool I would find is going for a walk. It gives you creativity. It can help you format if it's a podcast, if it's a blog, it can help structure. So, what would your main recommendations for being tools to help dyslexics and bloggers, if that's online or offline?
Well, I write a blog first of all, and then I will run it through my text to speech. Then I'll shut down the computer. And as you say, I'll go away and have a walk, listen to music, come back to it with fresh ideas. Maybe I can change this, I can change that, I can change the next thing. You know, I'm not happy with the way I've structured this. I'm not where, but I will run it through my text to speech again. Because then I can hear where I've made mistakes and I'm going, that's a load of rubbish, you know. I can improve that. And I do that several times before. So it might be like, right, I've worked on it for half an hour, but that's enough because I need to go away, process what I've been doing, take that time out, go like, am I happy with this? Am I not happy with this? You know, am I overtired? Am I overthinking this? Am I doing my usual dyslexic things? And just being able to take that step back and go like, okay, I need to take a step back now. And it makes it easier for processing as you're going along. It makes the deadlines easier. Well, I find it makes deadlines easier in the long run because I'm taking things in sharp bursts and then giving myself time to process. Because if I spent 5, 6 hours doing something, I can't function for the rest of the day. My brain's just overloaded.
Yeah,
You know,
like
and
it's
I'm
proven we all need breaks to be productive, and that makes a lot of sense. Now, also, what would you recommend for supports for dyslexics?
or dyslexics, any sort of dyslexic, look up websites, look up dyslexia. You know, if you're in Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales, there's the BDA, there's Dyslexia Scotland, there's the Irish Association. Look up how, what events that they've got on, you know, children, adults, join in that support group, knowing who's there to support you. Because when my journey started, and I'd known for years I was dyslexic, but I hadn't realised all the issues on being dyslexic and being able to build up my confidence and having a group of people I can talk to about my frustrations, about where I'm going wrong. And then giving me ideas about strategies they've got in place. It might not work, but why shouldn't I give it a try? Because it might work. It might take a bit of time for me to get that process in place, but I know I can go and talk to people, which is so beneficial for any dyslexic, because if you're dyslexic and you're wondering why you do not fit in, or you're overwhelmed or frustrated, being able to go and talk to people who understand, who've been there, who know exactly where you're coming from, makes a huge difference.
It makes a lot of sense what you're saying. And the thing about dyslexia, it's like the makeup of somebody, and I don't mean that in disrespect to anyone, and it is something for life. And people are inclined to think dyslexia is about reading and writing. Dyslexia also has things like these are just coming up to this interview. I was going through things about dyslexia can affect balance. Now, think about balance. From a child cycling a bike, you need it to balance. Then think about coordination. If it affects you, that's learning to drive a car. That is independence. There are very, very important skills in life. So obviously, understanding if certain things are going to be a challenge, how to deal with more, as you said, Susie, that you have a community of people who've had similar experiences, and also see it. It's not necessarily a bad thing that it takes you a bit longer to learn something, because sometimes you learn it a lot better, or your understanding of whatever is an awful lot stronger than if somebody just picks things up really, really quickly. Because there are the people who can pick up things really quickly and then forget them really quickly as well. The world is made up of all types of people.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a laugh. I was recently in Malaga to see a project called the Dyslexic Compass. And I met up with two other dyslexics. The three of us got lost getting out of the airport.
So directions, is that?
Yeah.
Anyway,
three dyslexics. Where are we going? Is it this way? Is it that way? Is it straight on? I don't know.
Yeah, because another thing I will today, when I was going through the different areas of my dyslexia, is right or left. And you know, if you say just, you know, someone has difficulty with right and left, you might think, oh, that doesn't really matter. But then, as you say, you want to leave an airport. It does matter about to know where you are driving a car. You know, you're doing your driving test and the instructor tells you to go to right and you go left. And that wouldn't be very good.
No, so, that would be a fail.
No, I think it might be a little bit of a fail. So the point about these things is the more, you know, we can help people understand, you know, that there are these challenges, but they also can be a good thing as well, because maybe if you're dyslexic and you've offered directions, you ask people directions and you make friends because you can't read a map. You get having a chat with someone. Life always opens doors in kind of funny and lovely ways for all of us. So bringing this back to you as a blogger, you as a dyslexic. Now, obviously, this podcast, we have freelancers, we have bloggers, business people. What would your recommendations now be going forward? Like, we are all living in challenging times.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things where we've already discussed that every dyslexic is different. So, and even though the dyslexia, dyspraxia, ADHD, autism, and other hidden disabilities are under the Equality Act of 2010, you know, one of the things which is discussed a lot is what is a reasonable adjustment, because as we've just discussed, every dyslexic is different, so they're going to be needing different things to somebody else. You can't just turn around and say, yes, I use this font because I find it easier to read. But I'm not expecting everybody else in the office to use the same font as me, because there are people who find it too big. There are people who go like, this is massive, you know, I can't deal with this. You can't just turn around and expect everybody to go, well, that person needs blue paper, so we're giving everybody blue paper. Because there's people who can't read on blue paper. I can't read anything on blue paper, so why would I expect anybody else to?
Yeah, and then there's things like, you know, you've all, as you know, I also work with websites and things. And, you know, you people who love flashing sliders and all kinds of things. And they can be very difficult to read for people with dyslexia. It can be very distracting, different forms of text. But those rules, I think if you're doing a website or you're doing all these things, to make it dyslexia friendly, you're actually making it friendly for everyone. It's not just dyslexics.
Well, I mean, I know I've tried to make mine dyslexia friendly with having a yellow background, different coloured yellow background. But I've had people who go like, I can't actually read it, the words are jumping around and stuff, and I'm not going to take that personally. You know, that's what happens with him.
Yeah, you can't get a right fits absolutely everyone. The thing is, if we can get it right for as many people as we can, and also that communication is open, that we can actually help people if they do need extra support in any way when we are producing content online, which is very, very important. And it is actually interesting over the years, like you had kind of websites at one stage which were more fussy or busier. And then now you've more white space or all that kind of thing, which is a good thing because it also helps us all communicate. And also, dyslexics are part of the overall community and people are very busy. And if text or communication isn't easy to read, then people lose the message. And obviously, if you're a blogger and you're trying to communicate, you don't want to lose the message because things are made complex. Like one thing we discussed before, Susie, was about, you know, sentence not being too long and not confusing.
Oh, yeah. And use the use of language as well. I mean,
yeah,
I recently read somewhere about dyslexia and organizational skills. And part of that was it made the task insurmountable. I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
How many dyslexics are going to understand making a task insurmountable? I'm like, please, no, no. That needs to get changed.
Yeah. Very, very much so. Like, all of these things, and people learning, like, you know, I teach as well, and you can see people learn at a different pace. You have to allow for how people learn and do things. And what you're saying as well is about putting a task together, how it is managed. And as we go back to Richard Branson, as he said, simplify. And I think maybe we'll finish at this, is thinking of Richard Branson, simplify. If we can make things easier, if it is a blog post, that we make it easier for people to understand what you're saying, what your story is, like even your stories about going back to college, studying, the challenges and how you manage them, which were obviously vital within the dyslexic community. And it's great you're doing that as well, Susie. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank you very much for coming to this podcast. And what I will do is I will actually write a blog post, and I will obviously be back to you with that. So thank you very much for your time, and wishing you continued success with your blog.
Thank you very much. It was lovely talking to you.
You're more than welcome.
Many thanks for listening to this week's podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy, Digital Content Manager. I work for freelancers, coaches, and adults with dyslexia. I create digital content, and I also train. Or do you need help with LinkedIn? I am a certified LinkedIn insider. So get in touch with me. Email me at contact@digitalcontentmanager.ie or get in touch on LinkedIn. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy.